chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome into the On Enquirer podcast, and we have some breaking Illinois football news. This broke about 3 hours ago, but we have to delay this a little bit because Illinois basketball. So Joey Wagner is joining me live from Minneapolis, I believe outside the hotel bar. Is that where you're at, Joey, joining me here?
That is exactly where we're at. Fingers crossed some of these skywalks in the cold Minneapolis air are open. And more importantly, fingers crossed a couple bars are open. Have a good time. But yeah, first of all, Jeremy, kudos for breaking this. You got this. You had this scoop, and it's a big scoop, man. And so congrats on, I say congrats, but it is a big deal. So good for you for getting that, man.
Yeah, I don't like covering this stuff. But you know, once you get the news, you got to go to work to it. And obviously Brett Bielema, I mean, that's the bigger news here is he is making a huge move 1 year into his tenure. His first hire was Tony Peterson. And to be honest, like when we came on the podcast and talked about the Tony Peterson hire, it wasn't the most impressive, right? It was kind of like, oh, okay. Cause you knew the offensive coordinator is the most important hire for Brett Bielema because he's so strong with his defensive background. He's so connected there. And he felt like the offensive coordinator would get a lot of freedom to kind of basically be the head coach of this offense. We give Tony a shot, and I like talking with Tony. I wish him well here, but he just didn't produce. 116th in the country in scoring offense. They took a step backward this year in scoring offense, rushing offense, and certainly the passing attack was just absolutely atrocious. They couldn't throw the ball against most Big Ten teams not named Northwestern, right? So not a huge surprise that Tony Peterson would be in trouble. But Joey, just what was your initial reaction when you learned that Brett Bielema was actually doing this? Because we speculated it. We talked about it. I had doubts because he was on the first year of a three-year contract, but he made the move. What's your reaction to the Bielema doing that?
I think if you were just to drive by the national standings and the stats and you saw that, you'd be like, well, duh, right? Like the numbers just, they weren't there. But I don't want to say I'm really surprised. It's kind of probably a little far, but I am surprised because there's a lot that goes into this. I think with your Brett Bielema, what he wanted to do was come in here and build consistency, build stability, build a, you know, consistently produce. And I'm not saying that's off the table, but he knew by doing this, he was going to really shake some ground beneath him, right? I mean, this is a really big move. And to do that after year one, we learn a little bit more basically what we already knew from Brett, that this dude's not here to lose football games. He doesn't like doing it. But this was a lot, right? Like, it's a financial commitment because there's buyouts, contracts exist for a reason. You're going to have to buy him out. You're going to have to admit you made a mistake. Your first hire was a mistake. And I mean, by firing him, I don't know if you could really say it any other way. And
yeah, he's with you, that, right? Like he is owning that his first hire was a mistake, but he's not doubling down on it. Right. Like, and you think about that with Lovie Smith, right? Like doubling down. I know he fired Garrick McGee, but doubling down on himself with his defense and sticking with that system. Brett's saying, no, I need to change. Something needs to change here. Just like, you know, Brad Underwood did a little bit with his defense and offense to say, I need to change something to make this better. Brett seeing that 1 year in and saying, I can't let this fester. I have to make the move now.
Yeah. I think you and I all season, Jeremy, like we had heard people speculate like, oh, Tony Peterson's got to go. And I just think it was really hard to envision. Right. It was just really hard to think like I understood where the basis of the argument was made. And I think it's fair. And obviously it's come to fruition, but I just think big picture, it was kind of hard to just think that was going to happen because the finances and all that, but Tony didn't really have his guys. I'm not trying to make an excuse for Tony because I think much. The numbers.
He didn't inherit much. He didn't inherit quarterback situation, wide receiver situation, you know, offensive line long-term. Wasn't a great situation. but they should have been better than what they were. So that's where you can't even argue like, oh, Tony Peterson, just give him one more year. He's definitely going to do well. No, I mean, the offense to me is the biggest question going into next year, despite the defense losing some really important players. So, I mean, the offense is the reason Illinois didn't play in a bowl game, right? Like that, they are obviously given, and it's got to be hard being Tony Peterson with Ryan Walters doing what he did this year with his defensive staff, right? You got to give credit to Andy Boo and Kevin Kane and all of them, but you juxtapose like what they could do, what a star defensive coordinator and Bielema and all of them can do in 1 year with the same talent and turn them around. Like, it just all of a sudden it makes you go, well, why can't the offense do that? Like, why can't they do that? And that's what Brett Bielema was saying, is we can do that even with maybe some limited talent at certain positions. Like, we see what the defense did. The offense held us back. They should have won Purdue. They only scored 9 points, right? They should have beat Maryland. They couldn't hang on to the ball at the end of the game. They couldn't make the plays to prolong the game and finish the drive or to score getting into the 20s. Like, getting into the 20s is that difficult? It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. And there was no consistency, right? I mean, I don't mean just game to game consistency, which is like the hot, like it's the easy thing to look at and be like, well, one game they scored X and the next game they scored Y. It's drive to drive. Jeremy, we sat and watched every single game and we didn't know what we were going to see from the Illinois offense from one drive to the next. And that is not particularly acceptable. And we've seen that come out. So again, Tony needs to wear some blame for this, but I think it's important to say that, like, as you mentioned, he didn't have a lot. And I know people aren't going to want to hear that and say like, oh, well, but it's the truth, right? Well, it's the truth.
We're expecting, like, none of us are expecting a defense to take that big of a leap, but none of us were expecting like top 40 offense in the country. Right. But 80th, right? Like, you're capable of that. You're capable of averaging 25 points a game, not 20, right? Like, they were capable of something like that. And you couldn't even meet that low bar. Like, so I did think, like, okay, offense coordinator comes in, probably going to get a couple of years to show what he can do. But this year was so bad and it was so glaring compared to the defensive improvement. And certainly there are things behind the scenes, Joey, that Bielema was not a fan of, or the entire operation wasn't working well enough. And he gave you a quote in your one-on-one that made me open my eyes, be like, oh, maybe he could do this.
Yeah. And so in the moment, just to peel back the curtain a little bit here, in the moment, I'm like, okay, right. Like, cause it started out with kind of a run of the mill coach quote, right? Coach speak, and you know, we got to do better, whatever. But then I kind of followed up a little bit, and he ended up, and the whole quote's in your story online, but at the end, he said, you know, for that reason, the offense has to learn to be proactive in what they do well. And anytime they say, well, the defense likes to do this, we're going to do that, that's the wrong way to think. Those words right there are very highlighted for me. And then the offense has to be the aggressor. So clearly, in my mind, and we've not talked to Brett yet, I would assume that'll happen sometime over the course of this week or early next week. I don't feel like, from him saying that, now obviously this decision to move on from Tony, I don't feel like he thinks his offense was the aggressor in situations. Yeah. And he did say defense is easy, right? You clean up this, you get this, and it's easy to fix. But to say the offense has to be the aggressor, that's pretty telling, right?
And his like, you know, obviously paraphrase quote, well, the defense likes to do this, we're going to do that. Like, that's a life experience. That isn't something he just created out of thin air. That had to happen this year. And another side, I think, when you and I during the season thought, oh, that's not good for Tony, is when Brett Bielema talked about all of a sudden, like, he's telling the offensive staff who needs to get how many targets. Like, that's really hands-on. Like, that's really
– from a defensive coach.
Yeah, and from the head coach, like, usually
right.
Ordinary kind of do things.
But, you know, if you're an offensive head coach, you probably maybe have that. But, like, to your point earlier, so I didn't mean to cut you off, your point earlier, like, we thought the offensive coordinator was going to come in and be the head coach of the offense, and suddenly you've got someone coming in and saying, well, hold on now. Like, this right. is what I want to see touch-wise is a move.
I never heard that from Lovey about Rod, right? Like,
fair.
Rod had control of that. And for better or worse, and, you know, Rod – brought a really good rushing offense. He struggled with the passing as well. Obviously it didn't work out well at the end, but it just, that opened my eyes. Like, that, he said that publicly to us and said, oh, he's not very happy. And he shouldn't have been, right? They were 2-5, I believe, at that point or something like that. And he never really said much positive about the offense even towards the end of the season. So I guess we could see it come, but still a little bit of shock. We will talk about who the top candidate is here in a second. And it's the same name I've been hearing, Joey, but the questions now are is what does Bielema look for? Right. And we'll talk about the candidate here in a second, but from everything I've heard is yes, the aggressiveness Brett wants to be, but I think Brett liked Tony Peterson in the first place because Tony had a good run in the Big Ten at Minnesota. Brett had a certain identity in the Big Ten that really works. I don't think he's going to go away from his core principles of running the football, controlling the clock, being physical, right? That's his tough, smart, dependable thing. But I do think he made this kind of change at Arkansas, going to Dan Enos in 2014. Dan had a little bit more, I hate to say modern, but yeah, you know, aggressive, up-tempo kind of things. And obviously didn't work out at the end of the day at Arkansas, but they made bowl games with Dan Enos as the offensive coordinator. I thought Dan Enos could have been the hire here last year. He's kind of the number one guy on my board. But I don't know if they think they can out Iowa, Iowa, or out Wisconsin, Wisconsin, at least right away. They have to be probably a little bit different. Not that they're going to go away from using the tight end a lot, having star running backs, being built behind a great offensive line, but I think that quarterback could look a little different, and that'll be interesting to see where they go here.
It will be. I do want to make one more quick point because we talked about what Brett said during the season. I think it's important to point out, and we've not talked to Tony since before Northwestern, if I'm not mistaken. I guess you talked to him, Jeremy, sorry, at signing day. But I do wonder how much stable footing he felt, because I know you and I had discussed this, and a lot of it was maybe injury related when we asked these questions, but there was a lot of times Tony deferred. Yeah. And he said, you'll have to ask Brett. You'll have to ask Brett, or I have to ask the head coach. And I just wonder, now knowing what we know, if he felt comfortable in that role. And maybe, like, these two have known each other for a long time. I know I'm not answering the topic we had at hand, but, like, these two have known each other for a long time, and they've gotten along, obviously, right? Because this happened in the first place. But I'm just wondering if it got together and it was just like, eh, this isn't really it. And obviously that came to be. But we've talked a lot about why Brett's done this, but I do wonder if Tony just maybe didn't feel like he had the voice that he wanted. I'm speculating. I don't know this. But just in the way that he answered, I just felt like anything we needed to get offensively was pretty much pushed to, well, Brett will talk in 5 minutes. And and that was the thing.
There was always a way of Ryan Walters that came across so confident and in the pressers, right?
Exactly,
and,
right. Yeah.
And that Tony always felt like, yeah, a little uncomfortable in that role. And I don't know if that's play calling or anything like that, but yeah, this was a big break for him to get another Big Ten opportunity. He hadn't been in the Power Five since 2006, and it didn't work out for him. But I do think we're seeing that Brett's pretty cutthroat, right? Like, I mean, this is a good friend of his, and I think they all understand it's a business. But, man, like, he's making this move now, Joey, and saying this is not good enough, and it wasn't. So is there anything else you want to add before we get to the top candidate?
I just wonder how long it's festered with him. Because I think the timing is not accidental in the sense of, I don't think he cares for a gap between this breaking and the announcement for the next guy. Like, and I think the timeline probably coincides a little bit with that. But I just wonder. It's going to
be a very quick process.
I just wonder when it was like, man, this isn't it.
He clearly has been thinking about this for a while. The timing that deals with transfer quarterbacks with signing day, not that's easy.
That's interesting.
He clearly, and we'll talk about the candidate here in a second. Like, he clearly has been doing background work, right? Like, this has been set up to where, you know, from what I understand, this Tony Peterson fired in the last day or two, and it sounds like a candidate could be hired in the next day or two. So he got his ducks in a row, right? And maybe he just goes, let's see if I can get somebody better than Tony Peterson, which is tough to do. You have to have the trust of a lot of people.
You got to know, man. You can't turn back from that. You got to know. You have to absolutely know what you're getting next. And I do want to make one more point, Jeremy. I'm sorry. We've known Josh Whitman was pushed in on his teams, right? Like he's going to back these things for as far as he can push this. This is a big backing from Josh Whitman. And I know in the big scheme, like when you're talking college athletics, $1 million is like, oh, that'll be a nice team center in the big building that costs $80 million. But like, that's a lot of money. And we're just speculating. This is going to be a 7-figure deal to between the buyout and moving on. Like that's just the cost of doing business here. So
Tony Peterson paid $750,000 a year on a 3-year contract. Right. And now the next guy is going to make close to that. Right.
Yeah. And you got to buy Tony out. You got to buy him out for 2 years. And this is on top, by the way, Jeremy, of 2 months ago, Brett goes to Josh and says, we got this star defensive coordinator. And listen, I know we have this deal, but we're probably going to need to bump it up because things are going to get moving and shaking here. So I just think we need to acknowledge Josh is putting those chips in the middle here and saying, all right, one, you're my guy. And two, we're going to back this thing until we can't back it. And the hope, obviously, if you're Illinois, is you back it forever because that's what you believe. But Josh is going in.
And this is really important. And it's why anytime I say, like I tweeted out that about the Barbara Wilson quote, right? Ripping Illinois. And it was ruthless, but it was true. So good for you, Babs, about Illinois not winning bowl games very often. It hurt, but I said, hey, at least she ended up with Josh Whitman. I know it was late. I know Josh Whitman has had very little football success. His first hire failed, only got to one bowl game. Brett Bielema hasn't gotten to a bowl game yet going into year two. I get it, but the way he operates has just changed the way you have to think about Illinois athletics. Going and stealing Brad Underwood, it's just a thing that doesn't happen here. Spending $1.5 million on a basketball staff when he originally did that is something we haven't seen. And now he's at $2 million, right? Basically almost for a staff. It's $1.5 million. It's one of the top in Big Ten basketball. And look what it's done for Illinois basketball. And now a football, you have a $5, $6 million staff, right? Which is very, very competitive in the Big Ten. And you're willing to invest and keep Ryan Walters from somebody coming. Like this wouldn't have happened under previous administrations. And he is pushing it forward and saying, hey, we have to elevate ourselves. We have to spend. If we want to be a great program, we have to spend like a great program and put in resources and elevate what we think. And obviously he signed off on this. Right. Like he has to sign off on this. So he thinks it need to be addressed too, if they're going to have success.
And not only to sign off, he probably had to pitch it up the ladder a little bit to get it signed off on. Right. I mean, these things don't just happen in a vacuum. So I just think that's, you see, look, we knew Illinois football meant a lot to Josh Whitman. I mean, for the love of God, he played there. Right. Like if it didn't mean anything to him, you got to wonder like, what the heck's going on here, dude? But like, you're just seeing that really mixed with the trust he has in Brett. It's very clear to me that in Josh's mind, Brett is the guy to turn this page. And I think Josh should get a lot of credit for saying, you know what, Brett, we're not going to make you ruin this hire that you just don't feel like worked out. And can you try to figure it out? Do you think after 2 years, like, no, man, he bought into what his guy said and he went in. And I think Brett should get some credit too. And it feels weird saying get credit for putting a guy out of his line of work, but you know what I mean? Like for Brett to go up, look, dude, you have to have an ego in this field to do this and to go up and say, hey, didn't work. That takes a lot. So that, and I think to capture back to the beginning, Jeremy, that's what makes it a little surprising is that like all of this really did happen. And it's, I just think it goes beyond stats and to understand like the surprise of which it all coming together.
Yeah.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
All right, Joe, let's talk about the top candidate. And I started hearing about this about a day ago, and I reached out to you and said, but then I started thinking of candidates, and the guy that immediately came to mind for me, no, not Nathan Chulas, a lot of fans though, from my understanding, like Brett talked with Nathan Chulas last year for his staff. And, you know, Nate's got such a good thing under Matt Campbell. I know they didn't live up to the top 10 hype this year, but he's a star and Nate's rising there. And it just wasn't right for an offensive coordinator. Now, could he have some title like Kevin Kane has? Absolutely. But I think you got to go with a proven, known guy as a play caller. And the guy who makes so much sense, given his ties to Brett Bielema and given his success, is Barry Loney Jr. At UTSA. And we got to see that offense up close to Frank Harris and Sierra McCormick and boy, Zachary Franklin. But I know that he's the top target. Football Scoop has now reported it. He's the top target. Chris Hummer, 24/7 Sports, confirmed that. And it sounds like this could be a done deal very soon. But Barry Loney was a high school coach in Arkansas, really successful one. Bielema, when he was at Arkansas after his first year, hired him as a tight ends coach, eventually became the interim coach after Chad Morris got fired. 2 years after Brett Bielema got fired, and then he moves on to Jeff Traylor and UTSA, and he's just improved that offense year to year. He took over an offense that averaged 19 points a game, got that up to what, 28, 30. And then this past year, they were the number 11 scoring offense in the country. So this is a pretty big name hire in the football world. If you're able to get Barry Loney, and obviously somebody who Brett Bielema has a lot of, has a long relationship with.
Yeah. And I, just going through back again the notes that we took before the UTSA game, Brett was very effusive in his praise for Barry Loney. And I'm reading, represents everything great about our profession. Barry Loney was a successful high school coach in Arkansas. His dad, or I'm sorry, let me make sure I have that right. Yeah, Barry's an incredible, accomplished person. He was the offensive coordinator in high school at Arkansas. Barry's dad is a legendary coach, and that's who represents everything great. I mean, Brett said, I interviewed Barry quickly, realized he was somebody I wanted to have in my program. Pretty important, right? I mean, those feelings do not change. I don't care how many years change, those feelings don't. I had only a tight end. Go ahead.
To be honest with you, I thought he was a better candidate than Tony Peterson last year. And then he goes out and does what he does this year. I mean, Sincere McCormick was one of the best backs in the country. Zachary Franklin could be an NFL draft pick. And Frank Harris had a really good season as well. And man, they had a great thing going there. It is a different offense, right? There's more option involved. It's more spread, though it certainly has a physical running attack component to it. So it would be a departure and it would bring a lot of questions, but if you're an Illinois fan, you don't know much about Barry Loney Jr. Like I think this hire would be met with a lot of praise outside. To me, Loney last year would have been a more exciting hire than Tony Peterson. That's last year. I think this year makes even more sense given the success they had.
Yeah, turn on UTSA. Turn on UTSA. Any game, if you're an Illinois fan, you obviously saw the game in a different light. Very successful, and I think he's a guy – I think it's also telling he was the interim when Brett was let go. I mean, he doesn't just walk into a locker room and blend in. He stands out.
Well, it was when Chad Morris got
looked. Sorry, excuse me. Yeah. But you have to stand out, right? And to the fact that and I know a lot of people are like, oh, interim coach, whatever. That means something. It does. And the fact that Arkansas for whatever number of games is like, this is our guy. I just think it tells you like he has that ability to kind of command things and that matters. So this would be met with positive reception, I would think. And I'm with you. I know we had talked last year and Brett was putting this together and it was like, okay, what's this going to look like? Barry Loney would make sense. And he just increased his stock.
Yeah.
Get
that money up, right?
Yeah. But again, there's a lot that goes into it in terms of just what it all means. But on the surface, man, it's a pretty good one, I would think. And he's developed some dudes.
Yeah, not a done deal from what I've heard, but I'd say it's in the red zone. is what you would say this one. And obviously his name's out there and this could be done in the next day or two. And if it is, I would be pretty impressed with this hire. Offensively, you do have questions then, Joey, about like who could he bring in as a transfer that could help? What happens with quarterback, right? And Tommy DeVito is supposed to come here, but if you know you got an offense coordinator who wants a different guy, that might be different. I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions right now. It'd all be something we have to talk about with Brett Bielema. But the program hasn't announced DeVito yet because they're waiting until all these guys enroll, so there's still time for that to happen. But this is weird, right? I mean, with guys who bought in, like I think most of these players kind of fit into this offense of what he wants to do. The receivers, the running backs. I think the receivers should be very happy. Like Isaiah Williams should be very happy.
I also think they, especially if you look at the class of 22, I mean, because that in our mind, we go there. A lot of those guys committed to their position coaches.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you look at the offensive line and Brett. And that's not to say like they were hesitant, like, oh, Tony, I just think they built the way that this recruiting was structured, built around your individual. Now I have questions with what's going through Donovan Leary's mind.
Yeah.
What's going through Tommy DeVito's mind? And that's to bring it back. But I think everything else, you look and you're like,
Chase Brown should be happy.
You think? I mean,
look what he did with Sincere McCormick, right? Like,
what's Brian Hightower think?
Yeah, that's a great one. That's great. I'm writing my receiver pick, like future picture, right? That I've been breaking all these positions down. And like, I still think Brian Hightower is one of the most talented guys in the room, but Tony and his staff like didn't want him in there. So yeah, I think for a lot of these guys, probably jolt, right? And probably jolt that we got to be better too.
And we have to acknowledge like it's not ideal to be a college player in 4 or 5 years and have to deal with a coordinator change, you know, this quickly either. Like that I don't think it's gonna be like the end of the world, but like we've talked to enough, especially during the Lovie tenure and the transition between Beckman Cubitt experience and Lovie.
Think of a third year player now. This will be their third offensive coordinator.
And that's a lot. Like we just have to look back and be like, boy, that's a lot you've got to deal with. Now, I don't think fundamentally, like I still think there's going to be a lot of the same philosophies. Like I don't think you're going to change a lot of like, well, look out, they're going to be a dual threat quarterback team. Like that's not going to be the case. But I do think that you have to look at it and be like, man, that's Reggie Love is a third player third year player that comes to mind. Like, oh shoot. Things are changing, right? So we have to admire, you know, just at least look at that. But I think probably by and large, just looking at resumes, this is going to end in a positive or go in a positive direction. I won't say end in a positive way, but at least our read would be like, yes, this could end up being a positive.
Yeah. And just to give you a little more background on Barry Lunny as a recruiter at Arkansas, really good. Now, like there's 5 and 4-star. Like there's 1 5-star prospect. You got a couple 4-stars, all from Arkansas. So I don't know if he can recruit like that from Arkansas, but I do think he's a recruiting upgrade too, if they're able to land Lunny, because you know, Tony Peterson, not the most outgoing, an older guy. I think he was the oldest guy on the staff. So you had Barry Lunny, who's younger. Obviously he's been a high school coach here very, very recently. I think he brings a jolt to the recruiting trail as well. Now he's not going to get all these kids from Arkansas that wanted to play for the Razorbacks all their life, but even at UTSA, obviously they've gotten some good talent there. So I do think he adds potentially a nice jolt in the recruiting now, but I think the biggest question is what's he want in a quarterback? I mean, Frank Harris was definitely a dual threat guy. So is there going to be another change to quarterback back all that way? Or is it going to be something in the middle? I'm not sure.
I think it has to be in the middle. Otherwise, look, Brett's done this a long time, Jeremy, and I think Brett knows. Look, I'm rewatching The Office, and I just watched Dinner Party, and snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. I think Brett knows well enough that, like, that's a lot for to ask of an offensive system, because you're not just asking it of the quarterback. You're asking it of the receivers to, you know, here's how you block in the, you know, in the offensive line. Like, so I think it's got to be in the middle. And to your point earlier,
I would interject.
Yeah.
What quarterback are you worried about that with, right? Like Donovan Leary would be number one, but like Art Sitkowski's got what, 2 more years? So he's kind of your guy. Like DeVito would only be 1 year. Like there's not like one guy where it's like, hey, Isaiah Williams is definitely your quarterback. Like we're changing schemes on him this many times. You know, Lunny's probably going to bring in the guy this year, next year, maybe this year, but next year, certainly it's probably going to be his guy. So like we think about that, but it's, I don't think it's a big change for those other positions. I think for quarterback though, it's certainly going to be a change.
I do. I just, so I guess my saying that, I wonder like what, how quickly does it change if at all, because to your point, you know, they're not going to right now today, aren't going to out. And we saw it. They're not going to out Iowa. They're not going to out Wisconsin. So do they find the balance like between those programs and Purdue or Nebraska and say like, we would like to incorporate a lot of these things. And does that include a quarterback philosophical change? And I my holdup, Jeremy, is like, this isn't like this was Tony's quarterback philosophy. Brett's got a pretty long history of this being what he believes in. So he would either have to full Underwood and abandon ship, right? Or he would have to say, hey, Barry, this is what I believe in. Where do we land in the middle? Because I think he does
about Illinois' offense, right? Exactly, I don't know what the heck that was last year.
Well, I think they wanted to run the ball.
For sure.
But I don't know beyond that. And I think you and I have talked about it. I think we probably even asked Tony, like, what is your identity? Who are you? Like, and I don't like me to crack a joke, but like I didn't know beyond our most success is turning around and handing to Chase or Josh.
Let me mention this. Like somebody brought this up with me talking about Illinois after the season. Brandon Peters, until the final four games, had his worst season. Right.
Until
the final four games. The offensive line had moments, especially in the run game. I thought they underachieved, right? Compared to what I thought they could be.
Yeah.
I thought Isaiah Williams was a great positive, but I thought he could have been even better. Like get him the ball more. Brian Hightower, Jafar Armstrong, mystery. I don't know what that was last year. As many times as we asked Joey, like we never got great answers. Then Brian Hightower decides to redshirt.
And we should say Jafar wasn't a holdover.
No,
they got that dude.
In. Art Sikowski. Like I thought he played better at Rutgers the year before than he played for Illinois. Now maybe the injury had something to do with that. And then the tight ends, man, like Daniel Barker, like you know how high I was on him coming into the season. I thought that guy should have 40 catches. I don't know why he didn't get the ball more, why he didn't play more. And then Luke Ford is the forever. Like, yeah, I think Luke needs to clean some things up. Got to get that guy more involved too. Like, that's why Brett Bielema went in there and would say, hey, these guys got to get targets. Like, and Isaiah Williams got more targets towards the end of the year and it worked out well.
Yeah, Luke Ford, you're right. Luke Ford is kind of the forever, like,
but Daniel is a bigger issue for me.
And but let's also say, and I know I feel like I've done a lot of like defending of Tony Peterson. And I hope I don't sound like I'm trying to ignore the flaws, but like
trying to be fair. That's what we try to do here.
Yeah. And I did like how they got Daniel involved later in the year. I liked some of the handoffs. I liked some of the screens. I thought that was creative. Where did that come from? Was that something Tony drew up? Was that something that, I mean, we don't know. We never asked because I don't think we ever thought we had to be like, who drew this play up, by the way? I'm just wondering, you know, like that's just not something you think of. But I do think like there was some evolution. And now once this happened, I'm wondering, was that an internal, like Tony was like, hey, I need to go this way. Or was it your head coach is knocking on the door of the offensive meeting room saying, let me just tell you what is going to be happening. So like, that's just what I don't know, but it's hard to look at this offense a little bit. I mean, the overarching thing is like pretty significantly underperformed, but like there was a small change at the end and there was like a turn, and who orchestrated that? Like Tony called the plays, but what orchestrated some of, I don't even want to call them philosophical changes. I don't think we saw anything of those, but like we did see more creativity and we did see more targets to the guys that objectively deserve more targets. So like who's behind that?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to know.
I think we also saw a little bit more aggression, fourth downs, all those kind of things that we didn't see early in the season, downfield shots. Like take your shots, man. I know you're not good at them, but at some point you got to keep going to it. And they finally hit some late in the season. All right, Joe, anything else you want to add? Like, of course, if Lenny becomes official, we'll do some. Our guy, JJ Perez at 24/7, that UTSA site does a great job. So we'll get his insight. But just a huge change year one. And again, I know I'm repeating myself, but says Brett Bielema is not going to be patient here. He has got a lot of urgency. And I love seeing that because you think of year two with Lovie Smith, right? You go 3-9 and then you followed up 2-10. And it just felt like you could never gain any kind of traction. Yeah, 5-7 is relatively okay for Illinois recently, but it's not as good as it should have been. Like they miss an opportunity with all those super seniors to go to a bowl game, to potentially win 7 or 8 games. And you think about the talk we have about Illinois being the surprise of the Big Ten, right? Outside of Michigan State and, you know, Michigan, obviously, but the surprise of the Big Ten West for sure. Instead, that was Purdue. And you're sitting there and 5-7, not making a bowl game. Sure, you're not in last place, but you're still close to it. So I think they missed an opportunity, and it was because of the offense, and Brett said that's not good enough.
Yeah, a quick point. Like, I think Josh wants to win. Josh Whitman, obviously. We know Josh. But the fact that this is a lot of, like, driven within Brett tells me so much about Brett Bielema. Like, I don't think Josh, like, knocked on the door. Is like, you better win next year. I'll tell you what, buddy.
Do you think this coach cares about winning here? Like, one thing I said about Lovie, and this is a credit to him, is no matter what he did at Illinois, it would not be the first line of his obituary.
Right? It wouldn't have been the third.
Probably not, right? Because did he win a Super Bowl with the Rams, or he's really good there? But there's the Bears. It's the Bears run. Being the first, you know, African-American head coach to make a Super Bowl along with Tony Dungy, his longtime mentor. Like, that's a credit to Lovie, but also meant like, hey, if this doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Like, P.J. Fleck, this is his biggest opportunity at Minnesota. Brett Bielema, this Wisconsin will always be the first thing for him. But if he gets this thing right and he wins here, for him, after the Arkansas failure, after Wisconsin continued to be good without him, after taking over for the legend at Wisconsin, this is his potential biggest thing. And he's acting like it, right? Like, he's acting like, this is my last big shot at this thing. And if I get this thing right, man, like, I could be the person at Illinois. Like, he could never be at Wisconsin.
Yeah, armchair speculation, just because we've talked to Brett a lot about it. Brett, to his credit, goes very deep insight into himself with us. So I feel like I'm a little more comfortable in, like, trying to pick apart maybe what he means. But he said several times, like, Illinois is getting the best version of me. And it feels weird saying best version when you just cut a guy loose from employment. But, like, I think there's so much of that Arkansas failure. I think I'm just speculating. That really just eats at him. And, like, no way in hell does Brett Bielema want to follow that up with struggling to find it at Illinois. And I don't think that's, like, the sole driver, but I do think the best version of himself means learning from his mistakes and understanding when is the time to gas and when is the time to let off and let things progress naturally. And in the sense of offensive coordinator, it feels like the time to gas. And I think that is maybe just a culmination of what he's learned over 13 years as a head coach. It's a culmination of what he's learned from things that didn't go well. I just think you put all of that together, and the best version of Brett is knowing when those buttons have to be pressed. Will they work? Couldn't tell you. I have no idea. As Tom Fornelli says, like the hire, don't know.
Don't know if it'll work out.
Don't know if it'll work out. But the fact that he feels like this is the time to gas it and to make a move, that tells me a lot about where he's been. So that really sticks with me that he did it.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. I just can't get away from, like, Brett did it.
Yeah.
He did it.
Well said, Joey. We'll see if he can lock down his hire in the next couple of days. Well, Joey Wagner, go have a beer on me, man, in Minneapolis. Have a safe trip back, man.
All right, man. Later.
There you go. Huge news out of Illinois football. You know, you think the coaching carousel stops spinning once you hit the new year, and that certainly is not the case. And Brett Bielema making a huge change to his staff. We'll have more about it at Illini Inquirer. We'll see what the next few days have to hold for his pursuit of an offensive coordinator. Obviously, Barry Lunney. You know, for me, from Football Scoop, from Chris Hummer, 24/7 Sports, clearly is the top candidate. We'll see if Illinois can lock him down in the next couple days. But we will have more about it at IlliniInquirer.com. As always, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate that. Helps us out. And also, follow us on YouTube. We got a lot of video up there. We put the video of the podcast up there, at least the interview portions of these things. Put all our interviews up there. And thinking about expanding some things that we could do on the podcast or the YouTube page up there as well. And for VIP members, I always put the film room breakdowns on the site, so you can check those out on the site as I put them up. Regardless, give us a little, what do they say, smash that subscribe button on YouTube. Do that. It helps us out, and you can get all your Illini video content there as well. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Until next time, everybody take care of each other. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.